starting at chapter 26. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What I am saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. Amen. We will all have different memories of childhood. For most of us, maybe it was a long time ago. And maybe it's hard to remember all that much. But I guess we'll remember if it was good or bad. Some of us were very fortunate to have had a good childhood with loving parents. Others may have been not so fortunate, and for some people, childhood was really hard and something they would prefer to forget. And so as we come to think this morning about being children of God, we maybe come with a little bit of baggage from earlier in our lives. When Nicky Gumbo covers this passage, amongst others, in his Bible in 1 year, he starts by quoting Adrian Plass. Adrian Plass is a Christian writer and speaker who many years ago wrote a book entitled The Sacred Diary of Adrian Plass, aged 37 and three quarters. If you lay your hands on it, it's an extremely entertaining read. But Nicky Gumbo quotes him saying this: "This seemingly insubstantial fact revolutionized my life. I became a Christian when I was 16 years old, but it wasn't until I was 37 that I absorbed an essential truth. God is nice. And he likes me." Nicky Gumbel says, "Sadly, deep down, many people think that God is not that nice, that he doesn't like us very much, and that he spends most of his time being cross with us. This could not be further from the truth. God is nice, and he likes us." Today's passage shows us three things about our relationship with the God who is nice and who likes us, and what these three things mean for us. Firstly, we read that we are children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Now you'll hear a lot of people say that everybody is a child of God, but that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible tells us that we have all been created by God, but that it is only those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ who are children of God. In the great prologue to John's Gospel, we read, "To those who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." In his letter to the Romans, Paul says that it's those who are led by the Spirit of God who are children of God, and that the Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So to be a child of God,
We need to put our faith in Jesus, to believe in him and trust in him and all that he has done for us through his death on the cross. And then when we do that, we are born anew into his family with his Holy Spirit within us. The Holy Spirit who leads us and reassures us of our standing as children of God. So if we're his children, what is God like as a father? Jesus explained it by means of a parable that we usually call the parable of the prodigal son. But it's really more accurately the parable of the loving father. The young man who we call the prodigal son asked his father for his inheritance. In Jewish society, as in our society, there were rules about how inheritances were divided. And where there were two brothers, as there were in this family, the elder brother would get 2/3 of the estate when his father died, and the younger brother would get 1/3. When the younger brother asked his father to give him 1/3 of his estate, he was saying, in effect, I can't wait for you to die, and I don't care what it'll cost you and what problems you might have in realizing that amount of your wealth. I don't actually care about you at all. I just want the money now. It was a really dreadful thing to do in any society. And in the ancient world, where parents were held in the highest regard, it was quite astonishing. It showed a complete and utter selfishness and a brutal disregard of his parents. Well, having got the money, he went to a faraway place and squandered it. And as he ran out of money, there was a famine in the country where he was, and so he was in great need. He hired himself out to a citizen of the country who sent him into the fields to feed the pigs, the most distasteful occupation possible for a Jew. Eventually, he came to his senses and decided to go home to his father. He recognized that he'd forfeited all right to be treated as a son, but he thought maybe his father could hire him as a servant, and then at least he would get food. But his father had never given up on him. He must have been hurt to the core of his being by the way his son behaved towards him. And yet he was constantly looking out for him. And when he saw him a long way away, he was filled with compassion and he ran to him. He showed no anger or disappointment. He didn't chide or criticize him for what he'd done. He didn't say anything about how hurt he'd been or how hard it had been for him. Quite the opposite. He ordered the finest robe to be brought for him, with a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, sandals that would mark him out as a free man rather than a servant. And he ordered a fattened calf to be slaughtered and called for a celebration. This is the amazing mercy and love of God. When sinners like us come back to him. This is a picture of our loving Heavenly Father, a God who loves us a million times more than even the very best human father loves his child. Do you have children? How much do you love them? Multiply it by a million and then some more. And you probably don't get anywhere near the way our Father in heaven loves us. Children of God, through faith in Christ Jesus. That's the first thing we notice in today's passage. And the second is this. We were baptized into Christ, and we have clothed ourselves with Christ. Baptism is a symbolic act that is a picture of dying to our old life, dying to our life of sin and rebellion against God, and rising from the water into a new life, a life as a child of God, lived in a close relationship with Jesus. Baptized into Christ, we are in Him. We often speak about how Christ lives in us by His Holy Spirit, and we see that later in this passage, but we also live in Him. Here is a book and a piece of paper. I put the paper in the book, and it's still a piece of paper, but it's in the book. We are still us, but we are in Christ Jesus. Paul said to the Athenians, in Him we live and move and have our being. He is in us by His Holy Spirit, and we are in Him. Our relationship with Him is closer than I think we can possibly imagine. And because we are all children of God through faith, and we are all baptized into Christ Jesus, then our passage tells us that we are all one, no matter how different we may be. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one, no matter our sex, our racial background, our age, whether we're rich or poor, or anything else that makes us different from one another, we are all one in Him. We're different, but our differences don't matter, because we are all part of His family as children of God. And then Paul goes on to say that we're also part of Abraham's family. Remember way back in Genesis that God showed Abraham the stars and made a promise to him that his offspring would be as many as the stars in the sky. Last week we saw that Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. That is, he was made right with God because of his faith. Abraham was a man of faith, and if we are also people of faith, believing in Christ Jesus, then we are children of Abraham. And we come back to that in a few moments, but for now, let's keep in mind that picture of the prodigal son returning to the father, and the Father running to meet him as we sing, just as I am, I come broken to be mended. My dad was a solicitor. He was a family lawyer, what firms today would call having a private client practice. One of his clients died, a man on his own, with no wife and no children, and as far as Dad knew, no relatives. He also had no will. Now in Scotland, if someone dies without any relatives and without leaving a will, the estate goes to the government via a body which was then called the Queen's and Lord Treasurer's Remembrancer. But before the money goes there, all sorts of inquiries have to be made to see if there might be a living relative, someone who would inherit the estate. So Dad advertised in all sorts of newspapers, and he even hired a private detective to try and trace any relatives. But he found no one. And so in the end, the money, the estate, went to the government. But maybe, just maybe, in spite of all Dad's hard work, might there have been someone out there, someone he never found, someone who didn't know that they were the heir to what was not a huge estate, but what was maybe enough money to have changed their life. Maybe someone was an heir. Someone had an inheritance. The third thing that Paul tells us in this passage today is that we are heirs. And I wonder if we know that. Do we know that we have an inheritance? Chapter 3 ends with, "If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise." Now, at the start of chapter 4, Paul explains a little bit more about heirs, and he uses an analogy from Roman law. In ancient Rome, until the age of 14, an heir, someone who had inherited an estate on the death of his father, was under the control of guardians and trustees nominated by his father. Until a child reached the age of 14, they would be treated in the same way as a slave and only become a free agent when they reached 14. And Paul uses this analogy to explain that while the people of God were under the law of Moses, it was like being under the control of guardians. It was like the heir of an estate being told what to do by guardians and trustees, like being a slave, subject to rules and restrictions, to the rules and restrictions of the law. But now Jesus has set us free. The message says, we have been set free to experience our rightful heritage. What is our heritage? What is our inheritance? It is all the rights of being children of God. When the time had fully come, says Paul, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, so that we might receive adoption as his children. Or as my version of the Bible translates it, so that we might receive all the full rights of children of God. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, "Abba, Father." We have all the rights of being children of God. We are heirs to all the promises that God has made to his children. That is our inheritance. And God has sent his Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, to live in us so that we can address God our Father in the same intimate way that Jesus did, so we can call him Dad. That is our right as children of God. When we put our faith in Jesus, we are no longer slaves to the law. We become children of God, children of a heavenly Father who loves us more than we could ever imagine. We are placed into Christ Jesus, clothed with him, like the hymn says, clothed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. And we are heirs to all the promises that God has made to his people. All because of what Jesus has done for us in dying and rising again, and all freely available to us when we put our trust in him. And so let's sing together, "Just Let Me Say How Much You Love Me."